Welcome to Hard On Radio. This is your host, Shauna Ava, and I am so excited to share today with you. We have the incredible, I'm so excited that she's here with us today. We have the incredible Karis Melina Brown on the line. Let me get her online here. Karis.
Hi.
Oh, hello, my smoky goddess. Welcome.
Yay. Hi, how are you? It's so great to be here.
I'm good, darling. Thank you for tuning in. I know it was giving you some Mercury retrograde glitches getting in at first. It sounds like.
You know, it's just our star homie saying hi. I always find whenever there's weird tech glitches that don't make any sense, you're like, oh, they're here. They're saying hello.
Absolutely. And what's funny, we just got a thunderclap over here in Sedona just to to bless exactly what you said.
Of course. Oh,
but we have so much to get into today. Pardon me if I'm a little dreamy. I just got out of such a great meditation, and I can't wait to share with you the card that came up from this Isis Oracle deck. It's going to be scrumptious.
Yes.
but before we start each show, I like to do just a few breaths to ground and to clear and to all kind of weave our energy together. So would you join me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. And just releasing anything that doesn't need to be here to make room for this beautiful shared time together. Okay. Karis, thank you so much for being here. I'm beyond excited, and which you know, I've been like texting you like cartwheels, basically.
Yay!
You know, and it's for so many reasons that I'm excited, but truly, it's part of what you do. I think is so important, and it's so exciting in this new paradigm that we're shifting into. And what that is you create these goddess retreats, among many other things, but these goddess retreats and the way that you unionize the females and the sisterhood and empowering that, I think is so important and so special. And it's just so beautiful. So I know that that's one of the things that you definitely ground here in the work that you do. And that's a little bit of what we're going to get into today. This goddess energy in it. We all have it. The male, the female, we all have both. But let's start with just a little bit about your background. So for anyone who's just getting to know Karis, where did this all start for you?
Okay. Well, I was raised in a kind of a fundamentalist religious household. My parents were both, their families when they were children, both became Jehovah's Witnesses. So I was born into a Jehovah's Witness family. Yeah, and we were practicing Jehovah's Witnesses like hardcore until I was about 12. And so I was raised with this really intense, very intense religious doctrine all around me. And so when I got into my teenage years, after all that kind of ended, I became atheist or agnostic. But I believed that there couldn't be a spiritual center to the universe, or if there was, my argument was always, if there's a God and you know everything that's going to happen and you can see all and you're all powerful and you let this terrible stuff happen that happens, either you don't exist or you're a sadist and I want nothing to do with you. And that's where I was. For many years. And then I started having all these crazy spiritual experiences firsthand. I mean, the classic spiritual emergency kind of criteria, like hearing things, seeing things, all the clairs turned on, all the intuition turned on. And I started having all these really intense experiences in an arena that I didn't believe in. So
wow.
I thought I was losing my mind. And this is
about
14 years ago.
Who could you really talk to? Because your family doesn't sound like they supported that. So they'd be like, okay, we're committing
well,
you.
Well, at that point, yeah, because that's when I was about 20. And so all of my immediate family had been out of that religious container for about, 6 years at that point. So they weren't going to go against it and tell me that anything scary was going on, like what have happened when I was little. Demonism was the answer to everything, everything supernatural when I was little. But I just didn't, I thought I was going crazy because I didn't believe in what I was seeing. And so I thought I just had schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder because I was a psychology major in school. So the thing that saved me, I know, it was really intense actually. You know, it was so long ago now that it's kind of a funny story, but at the time it was really scary. And so, because I was on this fast track, I was really academically oriented. I was really kind of a go-getter and really into my studies. And I graduated college really fast. And I went to grad school and all this stuff. And so what ended up happening was I would get clairaudience and clairsentience info, and then it would be true. And so a couple really intense experiences happened to me. And then I was like, wait, that could not have been a hallucination, because if it were, it wouldn't have been true. And so then through my university library, because that's the only thing I would have trusted at that point, I started finding research that academic people had done on things like shaman in different continents and stuff like that. And so as I'm reading what these shaman can do and as I'm reading this stuff, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm one of them. Okay, now it makes sense. And so that's kind of where I started. And then synchronistically, right at that same time, I was connected to who ended up being my Reiki teacher. And so I dove into that world of Reiki and energy healing. And for a while I was like helping to exorcise people, and I was de-ghosting houses and doing all that kind of the stuff that you see on TV shows, that kind of thing, for a few good years.
Wow.
And so there was a lot of real world validation that came to me to show me that wasn't crazy. And then I got to learn how to do things like, for instance, I was super into this. This is before I really knew that all really was one and that we create this entire universe, each of us individually. But I could do things like control the weather. And that just blew my mind. I was super excited about that. I got into kind of Celtic shamanism and Wicca-ish magic, that kind of thing. And so I would do spells and they would work. And so it was nice to just be able to validate, okay, this is a real thing. But I was living a double life because I was still in school and still super hard hitter, fat, going fast, trying to, you know, top my class, things like that. And then when I wasn't in school, I had this whole super intense, thriving, spiritual, metaphysical, multidimensional life that I was trying to balance, because people in my day life didn't believe in what I was doing. So I couldn't really share it with them because they would look at me funny, you know, unless I got very close to them.
Yeah,
I know. It was super intense. So then I was planning on becoming a physical therapist. But by the time I was finished with my master's in health, I realized I was going to lose my mind if one more person said to me, well, your stuff works better than anything we've ever seen, but I don't believe in that. I was like, this is gonna drive me crazy. I can't deal. And right at the last minute, I found out about the school that I ended up going to, which taught transpersonal psychology, which is basically holistic, spiritually based psychology that welcomes all religions. It basically just says that having a connection to the divine, whatever it is that translates through in the individual person, is as much an important part of psychology as, for instance, childhood traumas and healing that, et cetera, that kind of thing. So I went to school for that. I went to school for 5 years, and then I got another master's degree. And then 3 months before getting my PhD, I had an encounter with extraterrestrials, which completely spun me out and put me on my head. And then I was like one of those crazy people up in a bathroom all night long researching ancient Vimanas and ancient astronaut theory, and realizing that not only had I had these recent experiences, but that I'd actually been a contactee my entire life, and verifying things with my parents from when I was really little and all that kind of thing. So that was a whole other deal. And that was 7 years after my initial awakening, which was 7 years ago now. So you can see it kind of goes in these cycles.
Wow.
And so after having I know, isn't it bananas, right? These stories. It's funny because at the time you're just like, whoa, this is going on. But then afterward you look back and it really makes sense. So I left school because I couldn't. I had a big block to writing my dissertation, and writing is pretty easy for me, but whenever I would sit down to write this dissertation, I would just have what now I recognize is kind of Shakti fever, like just these kundalini rushes through my body that wasn't letting me do anything with intense emotion and energy surges. And so I left, and my school was very nice about it. They said, if you ever want to come back and finish your PhD, you absolutely can. I was very close to graduating, but I just couldn't stay. It was a calling. I had to go. And over the next few months, I ended up writing Starseed Wild. No, I'm sorry, Journal of a Starseed, which was my first book.
And that's what I was going to ask. Which, by the way, I recommend everybody. It's like candy. I don't know. It's like popcorn. It's like conscious popcorn. It is. It's just so easy to snack on. It's so much fun to read. I feel like it's a journal like the Diary of Anne Frank, but much, you know, on a positive note. But it would be like something that people would, oh, this is what happened in the human experience at that time. You know, it's so lovely. I had to say that.
Thank you. Well, it's super stream of consciousness. So it's like having a conversation. It's really the same. One of my favorite pieces of feedback that people do give me over and over about my writing is I write the same as I talk. So as you're reading, it's basically just like I'm talking to you, which is nice because authors like Lindsay Andrews and Mary Summer Rain really helped me in my awakening. And they wrote kind of memoir-style spiritual books like the Starseed series is. However, at the time that they wrote them or the time that the books are about, they were, you know, women with grown children who were kind of rediscovering themselves and had already had a whole life behind them. And I was like, I'm a college student. I don't already have this experience. So it kind of helped me, but I still felt pretty alone. So I was like, wait, if this helped me, then I'm going to write books so that they can help other people who am where I am. And so they can kind of have that kind of guide and assistance and know you're not crazy and, et cetera. So actually, Journal of a Starseed was published the same weekend that I would have walked to get my PhD. And so I kind of consider that my real world dissertation because it is basically the same thing I was going to write about in my dissertation, but a dissertation gets read by about 6 people and then sits on a dusty shelf for the rest of its existence. So I consider it a win that probably
absolutely,
at this point many more people have read it. Yeah. It's funny because the 3D world will say, oh my gosh, you're so close to getting your PhD and you've never finished. And I'm like, you know what? I have absolutely no desire because now I'm not bound by the academic rigmarole. Now I don't have to stand true to my university and do things that they would approve of because I don't claim to be a PhD behind my name. But I have the wisdom and the knowledge and experience from it. So it's a fun, again, with the new paradigm, you know, it's interesting stuff that we define ourselves differently. So let's see, then all the alien stuff was going on, or extraterrestrial, whatever you want to call it. And then a while after that, I discovered the elemental world. I had always believed that plants had energy, but I never believed in actual little, you know, fairies wearing dresses made of flowers, that kind of thing, until I started seeing them and they started visiting me. And that was a whole year of integration. And so since then, I mean, you know how it is. Like, we go on our little missions. For instance, one time I got really obsessed. By the way, anyone who's listening, when you get this weird obsession and you're researching crazy things on Wikipedia all night long and you don't know why you're looking up the stuff, just go on and go with it because it will eventually make sense. And so one time, for instance, I got really into researching the links between the Nephilim and the original flood in, like, biblical literature and, for instance, the Titans in Tartarus, which I believe is the same thing. And so I got really, really going on that. And then you fast forward about a year, I found myself hiking the Teton Mountains with my cat and a guide in the middle of nowhere, doing all this spiritual work. So on the physical world, I was, you know, just kind of hanging out and walking around on the mountain with my headphones in. But spiritually, I was going deep, deep down underground, releasing all these ancient titans who've been stuck there for so, so long because their sentence was up. So I was having all these crazy visions and dreams of star people coming down and getting these titans out of their prison and taking them back up because that's the time that we live in. You know, all the jails are being opened. Everybody's getting let out because they've been, what is it they call it, re-educated, and now they're getting reintegrated, and that also goes for the darker aspects of our own personalities, which we're learning how to dance with and use in shadow integration. So, and it just goes, you know, lately, and this past year, I've been doing a lot of work with Native American wounding here in the southeast of the United States. And so, and of course, there's always Burning Man, which I believe is an ancient battlefield, ancient multidimensional battlefield that we're kind of helping to terraform and heal the earth there with all the love and epicness of Burning Man out on that really dead lake bed where there's not even a blade of grass or a leaf to be seen as far as I can see. So there's just always something going on, but I think that's pretty much the long and short.
Oh my god. Well, I love that though, because I feel like leaving something like a PhD and everything that you went through and worked on to get to that level, and then you just drop the mic like right before, I feel like that's even more of a challenge, you know, than like, oh well, I wasn't really up to much, and then I started whatever.
it was terrifying.
I mean that's huge. So, oh my gosh, there's so much to, can you, I'm curious about this extraterrestrial contact. Is that something that was in meditation, or were you really in the, you know,
no, it was,
3D in the,
it was physical,
yeah.
It was, dude.
How it, did that, yeah. In, well, the, in the real, real.
Yeah. Yeah. In the real, real, in the 3D, in the suit. So,
wow.
So this is what happened. I was driving. Well, I mean, it was kind of both actually. I mean, it's not like, I was asking for so long for Grace to come in and, you know, and I would make them a cup of tea and give them some chocolate. You know, I was like, hey, come hang out. But that's not usually how it actually goes, you know. So, I mean, sometimes people have experiences like that, but I would say 9 times out of 10, that's not usually how things go. And so what happened was this is 7 years after my original awakening. I had done so much work at this point with the multidimensional arena, work with angels, demons, ghosts, stuck energies, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so I was very familiar with the multidimensional realm. And I had had a couple little bits of foreshadowing, for instance, you know, about 5 years before this point, a friend of mine had been out laying on a trampoline one day looking at the sky and these fluffy white clouds. And she had said to me, you know, I've heard, and she was my witchy friend. We did a bunch of work, like helping out with hurricanes in Florida not being so bad and stuff like that. And so she said, you know, I heard one time that aliens hide in, like camouflage their ships in clouds. And I was like, oh, interesting. Whatever, you know, and then just let it go. And also when I was having my initial spiritual awakening and taking Reiki from that super amazing woman who vanished off the face of the earth, by the way, I took Reiki from her 4 years. I got my Reiki 1 and 2, and we were close friends, and I helped her teach classes and all this kind of stuff. I went to her house all the time. She had crystals lining the walls, literally on the floor, lining the walls on every counter. She had this huge epic crystal skull. Every time she would walk out of the room, I would turn around and look at this crystal skull, like, what the heck? And then I'd go back to what I was doing. I'd turn around again, what the heck? And she would walk in, and I said, hey, why do I keep looking at that? She's like, oh, yeah, that was really chatty. I'm like, what does she mean? What does that even mean? Anyways, so she told me that she's like, well, let me take a look at you when we were first working together. I was like, okay. And so I stood there and imagined, you know, opening my aura up like a vault and letting her look in. And she was like, well, the first thing she said was, well, you are definitely not from here. She's like, you're definitely not from around here. And so she told me this whole thing about how my soul was originally from this group of people called the Crystal People, who were from the Pleiades, but they weren't classic Pleiadian, like blonde, blue eyes. They were like blue skin and worked with crystals and all this crazy stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. If it's eons ago, it makes sense to me that people don't always originate in the same spot. I mean, if there's life all over the universe, okay, like I get that. But it wasn't relevant in my here and now life. I didn't think that had anything to do with the current life yet. And so fast forward 7 years from that. So I was driving across the country from Pennsylvania to Texas. And I believe that we were in, I forget which state it is, I always mix them up, but we were either in Ohio or Iowa, one of the I states that are big and flat. And I had just been driving for about 11 hours because I'm kind of a road warrior and I can just go forever, but I've been driving for that long and it was time for me to take a break. And so I took a break and laid my feet back and put my little folded up piece of cloth over my eyes to block out the sun. It was about 11 or 12 in the morning. I mean, 11 a.m. or 12 noon. So, And I leaned back, and about 5 minutes after I had finally gotten to rest, the driver now said to me, "Karis, you should look at this." And had that sound in his voice of like, oh gosh, what's going on? Because he never said stuff like that, you know. This was actually someone who was in my life who was pretty resistant to all the things I was going through. So I knew if he said something like that, then I needed to pay attention. And so I sat up and took the mask off my eyes and looked out the windshield and in the sky. So this is, you know, plains country, just grass as far as you can see. And I looked at the sky and there was this huge, intense wall cloud. And so anyone listening to this, just look up wall cloud online, do an image search. And it's what it seems to be in the third dimension is a type of storm that sweeps the plains of the United States. But at the time, so what it looked like to me is, okay, so there's all the blue sky and the horizon, and then on the edge of the horizon where the road is going directly towards is a cloud that is gigantic. I mean, I can only see the edge of it, but it reaches back to the horizon. The front of it looked round, like if you were to zoom out and up, it would probably be a disc. Super huge, covering the entire horizon. That's why when people talk about spaceships, you know, they're the occasion. You can see little silver dollar UFOs and stuff, but the ships that I've seen and been on are bigger than mountain ranges.
A mountain range.
And so, you know, there are huge arboretums with entire huge forests in there. And there, I mean, it's like entire cities and nations in these ships. So that's just something to keep in mind for people who might have had experiences but don't know how to integrate them because they haven't heard of other people having them. No, there's a bunch of stuff going on around our planet that's way bigger than is often said, you know, because I don't even know why. I guess it's just newly coming into the forefront of our consciousness, even though they've been around as long as we have. So anyway, this cloud, I mean, I'm like doing the finger quotes when I say, you know, cloud is looked so solid you could knock on it. And it was just sitting there in the sky. And you know, okay, whatever. I love watching the sky. Even as a teenager, I was the girl who would be like, whoa, everyone look at the sky. Yeah, okay, cares, whatever. She's doing that weird thing again. You know, so storms and stuff don't frighten me. I think they're cool. And looking at that thing, I felt a primordial terror in my gut. I felt a fear of going under it. It just didn't make any sense. And so now I realize what it was me coming up on a huge barrier of my consciousness that I was about to blast through. So anyways, the road is going right under that thing on the horizon. Also, it was really low to the ground, and it was dark under there. So our road was going right underneath it. There's nowhere else to go. We're kind of in the middle of, you know, some random interstate out in the mid-country. And all I knew was I didn't want to go under it. And two, I was really curious what was under there. So I decided to just, okay, go for it, because you couldn't really see what was underneath it. And what could I do? I couldn't say stop the car. It was coming for us, and we were going to it. It was a done deal. It was going to happen. So I just kind of calmed myself, and when we went underneath, I'm looking up out through all the windows at the bottom, and it was this really beautifully intricate, all these folds of clouds and colors, and it was like it was glowing, really interesting. What it reminded me of, kind of, for people who want to visualize this, was the bottom of a jellyfish. You know how it has all those folds and loops and curves? That's what it was like under there. But, I mean, it was a cloud, but it also definitely was not a cloud, you know? So,
wow.
And meanwhile, I'm looking up at this thing, and my heart is beating so fast in my chest. And what I said out loud to the driver, I was like, I feel like a mouse under a hawk. And I had no idea why, zero idea why. And so I think, okay, there's something going on here. I just figured it was spirits or something. I didn't know what it was. And I quested my consciousness up, you know, opened up my upper chakras and kind of sent up my little periscope to look around, see what was going on up there. And the moment I did, what I realize now, knowing what I know, is I made the connection. But at the time, all I knew was that the moment that I felt myself looking around, I felt something else watching me from inside my own head. And it felt, I know, right? And it felt really strong, completely confident, not with a ton of emotion, but also not malicious, but also not snuggly. And so from my perspective, it just really, really intimidated me and scared me. And what it said to me was, be calm. So calm as you are, that's how calm we'll be. And I was like,
wow.
What the heck does that mean? Like, if I freak out, are you going to strike me with lightning and blow me off the road? Like, what the hell? And so, but I trusted it because, again, it was that ultimate confidence in that voice. I was like, okay, I am not going to call this bluff. I'm in this little Toyota Camry on the road right now trying to drive under this thing. So I was like, I'm going to go into meditation, told the driver, and I leaned the seat back. And this is some of the training I'd had in the various forms of shamanism I've studied. I leaned the seat back. I soothed my breathing down. I put myself into a trance, like slowed down my heart rate. And then we drive under this cloud, and we're going the opposite direction of it, highway speeds, for at least 20 minutes. So it just tells you how huge this thing is. And then eventually big raindrops start coming down, and there's wind blowing us all over the road, super intense stuff. And then we come out the other side of it. Of course, it ends as abruptly as it started, you know. We come out the other side of it. We stopped at a gas station, and I went in to ask the attendant. I was like, do you guys normally get storms like that around here? Because this is the thing about extraterrestrial awakenings is when you're in one, you think it's something that everyone's going to be interested in, and you need to tell everybody about it, and it's a whole big deal. But what I realized, this is the first little taste I got of it, and I've gotten it over and over the years, realized not everybody's into it, nor should they be. It's okay if people don't see this stuff. And the teller at the counter says, oh, yeah, I guess. You know, so I'm like, wow, people really aren't seeing this. It's really a thing that it's,
oh my God.
It's
well,
going to be something
you
that...
Would, honestly, I think if you were to survey most of the population, they would have at least one story in their pocket of something really unusual that they saw or experienced that could just not be explained. So, you know.
You know, I did a survey, actually. Did you?
I love it. We're right on the same
page. Yeah. I know, right? Kaboom. Yeah, I did. I asked people. It was an unofficial survey. I would ask people I would meet all over the place and just kind of try to casually drop it into conversation and see what happened. So, have you ever seen a UFO or, you know, whatever? And
so, instead of about the Yankees
responses.
Or about the weather, it's like, so, about the UFOs.
Just flip it in. Yeah. And there were three responses that came, and they were really, really interesting. And the first one, which was the absolute minimum. Like a couple people said this, very, very low percentage, said, nope, I haven't, and no. And I could tell there's a huge block, so I would never push it. I was like, okay, and go back to whatever else we were talking about. Then slightly more than that were people who would go, yes, I have, and they would get that super intense look in their eyes that UFO intense people get, and they would tell you this whole story, and they would be so glad that someone was finally listening to them, because that's the thing about extraterrestrial experiences is you can't talk to them about most people, and okay, interesting, I'd get some interesting stories out of that. And then the third thing, the one that was the vast, vast, vast majority of answers, was people saying, no, I don't think so. And getting that kind of dreamy look. And I was like, okay. And then we move on. And then a couple minutes later, anywhere from 2 minutes to a half hour or so later, they would go, wait, I do have something. And they would tell me some crazy intense UFO story, but that they had filed it away in their shit out of an understand drawer. You know,
exactly. I'm picturing like a messy files on a desk, and they're like, oh wait,
yeah, exactly.
Under here, let me blow some dust off. I did shove that somewhere because
exactly.
I couldn't explain.
Yes,
yeah, it's something. You know, I grew up in Florida, and I feel like a lot of those areas, especially where you have, and being a road warrior, you will see a lot of action if you are paying attention while on freeways, while driving around, and you look at the sky. There's like parties going on.
Yes, look up. And the fun thing about cloud ships, oh, so I'll give people a tip to see cloud ships, because then that just sent me out on a couple year long journey to be like, what the heck is going on? Realized I'd been a contactee all my life, had a bunch of experiences. Okay. One of the things I learned was about cloud ships. And the thing about cloud ships is you feel them before you see them. You'll look at the sky and be like, there's something weird. You can't put your finger on why or what, but you feel it. And so, sometimes you'll be like, that's a freaking flying saucer or something. or that looks just like the Enterprise off Star Trek or something like that, you know, but usually, usually it's this funny feeling you get. So if you want to start to see them, here's what you do. You know those magic eye posters that they put in magazines and in newspapers and stuff where you look at it and defocus your eyes and then the 3D image will appear?
Yes.
Yeah, it's exactly the same type of eye shift that you do. And then you'll start to see some things. You'll either see the layout of the ship, or sometimes, because you got to remember, this stuff is multidimensional. People really hold themselves back when they say, no, they have to come and knock me on the head in order for me to believe it, because it's multidimensional. You have to, like, look through. So you could, if you're in an airplane, you could fly through it because it's a different dimension. You know, you have to kind of meet it halfway. And so sometimes what you'll see is a ship. Sometimes what you'll see, for instance, is like a 3D image emerge from the cloud of a certain type of species face. Like you'll see a gray or a reptilian or what looks like an Agarthan or like a Venusian human or something like that. And that will kind of be the billboard that's like, that's what type of ship this is, you know? And so sometimes that's what you'll see. Sometimes you'll see a ship. But also usually if you kind of send up your little thought flare and you're like, hey guys, what's up? You know, you'll hear an answer, or more, you will feel it. Because again, this non-physical communication runs through our emotions before it runs through our logical, logistical minds. So it's just a restructuring of how we understand this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone seems to, you know, we all have our different superpowers. So it's like people will receive it differently. I'm definitely more of, I did a group meditation last night, and I'm definitely more of the empath. I feel, I'm always like, I want to see. What can I do to see?
Yeah.
It's like, right.
You know, which, the funny thing is that when we see, we freak the hell out. Like our body.
See, that's what I'm in that frequency. I'm sure a lot of people can agree that they're like, I really want to see, but a large portion of you is really like freaking out, and you're like, do I really want to see? I don't know. What am I going to see? What is it going to look like? So maybe
being the
empath is, you know, I'm okay there. I'll just cry it out, and you know, and it's fine. I'll just feel through it for everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I think that we're getting to that point. You know, one time I was driving from Pennsylvania to Virginia, and there were these super obvious, huge cloud ships over me, one after the other after the other. And I kept saying, let me see you, take the cloak off. I really want to see. And they're like, Karis, you think you want to see, but if we showed you, you'd drive off the road. They're like, don't, and you would just freak out. And and one time I was in Virginia during my fairy awakening, actually. I lived in this little fairy cabin way out in the woods in this small town in Virginia. And there were my ET friends outside the house one night. And I knew because they were flashing lights at me, and which were answering my thoughts. And so I'm laying in bed, and I didn't have any curtains on the window because we were out in the middle of the forest, you know, did not have any neighbors. And I thought, well, seeing the trees outside is prettier than a curtain anyway. So I just never thought of curtains on the windows. And so I was watching these lights, and they were answering my mind as I was asking questions and stuff. And I knew they would come if I said so, because they were like standing right outside, you know, with physical lights flashing at me. And I could feel my physical body freaking out. And I said to them, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming. But I know that if you guys come, I'm going to wet the bed right now. Like I was laying in bed. I was like, my body is just going to freak out. Like no matter what my mind wants, my physical form is not going to be able to take it. So could you leave me a note or something? And the next day I got up and looked all around my house, and there wasn't a note, but I was taking my friend to a natural botanical garden and museum the next day for her birthday. And she was actually someone who I had a lot of these experiences with. So it was nice to have that validation. Do you see that? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And the entire time we were at the museum, there was a bunch of crazy stuff going on. Where we were like, there's something else happening here. And you know, I found the note. It was out in the middle of the back, in this back area where no one went to because it was kind of off season. We were exploring back there, and a note was sitting in beautiful folded paper, kind of standing up right there, that said, I believe this was meant for you, in scripted handwriting. And I picked it up and read it, and it was exactly the answer. So they left me a note.
Oh,
and it had morning dew on it, like it had been there undernight. And I still have it. It's in Sedona in storage. I'll show you next time I'm in town. Like it's
please
that, it's a
do. I just had a huge surge go through me as you're saying that, like, wow, to find that. See, again, empath. I'm like, I was like, I was there with you, sister. Like, I felt it.
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, we could go. I'm like, we're going to have to obviously do an extraterrestrial episode as well, because this is really cool. I think it's something that people want, the, you know, we need to slowly integrate, or I feel it was important to slowly integrate and accept that. I know I meditated on kind of holding a gray and, you know, getting comfortable with seeing these different types of beings and these different forms of, you know, expressional energy. So, wow, I'm floored. I'm like, this is nuts. It's so cool. And again, so many people, I'm sure, have stories that are just so similar. But I want to make sure that we touch on this goddess thing. And I'm like, how do you, Karis, you have so much information. You've been at this a long time. So you're just like an encyclopedia of like all, do you want fairies? Do you want goddesses? You want what, you know, like, what is it? It's interesting, this, I know that you hold these goddess gatherings, and I feel like the sisterhood, this tribe is reassembling, where we are back into a position where we are loving each other. I don't know. There was definitely, I think, an agenda to pin us against each other. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Disempower us. Yeah. But I would, you know, you pay so much attention to this goddess thing. You integrate a lot of the traditional practices and, what's the word I'm looking for? You go by the moon cycles. You have all of these beautiful things that you integrate. To me, you really embody the goddess. So I want to learn how to do that too.
Please, you already do, for sure. Yes.
Well, thank you. I know we're all our worst critics, but if you could, I know we each have the divine masculine and the divine feminine within us, but can you describe what you feel is the goddess energy and some of the rituals that you do to integrate that and summon that and all those delicious things?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, to begin with, what you said about integration is so important, because, you know, like, we got on the whole alien kick just now, and that's a whole thing, and it's a whole rabbit hole that you can go down. And what people often do, I think, that actually stems progress is in trying to define themselves by one thing. So it's like, okay, yeah, the whole ET thing, yeah, I'm a starseed, I'm just as much alien as human, probably true, and so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we still have to, like, come here, and there's a bunch of other stuff going on. You know, that's only one little thing happening on one of the burners, you know? So
exactly.
I think that if I had to pick a favorite thing that I focus on this life, it's absolutely embodying the goddess. Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, I think first off, something that I think also can potentially hold us back is having one idea of what the goddess is. You know, I have a friend who is very, I consider her a goddess of utility. You know, she's very big and broad and strong, and she's like a handy woman, right? Like handyman, handy woman. She can do everything. She's a Jane of all trades, and she feels sometimes it was hard for her to incorporate the goddess. And I was like, goddesses don't always wear flowy dresses and walk around singing songs with flowers in their hair. That's not goddess. That is one flavor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And really what goddess is to me, it's, so you have all of the universe, you know, the full-on divine frequency that is everything and runs through everything. And then you come down off that and you've got the polarities, the masculine, feminine, the light and dark. And by dark, I don't mean dark, shadow, bad, scary. I mean the womb of the universe, the place where light sparks, the thing that needs to hold it, you know. I've heard, and even though, you know, women are often a little weaker, a little smaller physically than men, but you've also, I'm sure everyone listening has heard this or some version of it before, is that if men had to have the babies, our race would have died out a long time ago.
Yep.
Because we have a different type of strength, like a different type of stick-to-itiveness, a different type of intelligence. And I absolutely agree that it was a consciously done thing for women to be not only disempowered systematically throughout the ages, because not only women, but also magic. And that magic is core of the goddess. You know, women are the spiritual hub for their families. They're, because they're always connected. We can't get away from it. Our body cycles follow the moon cycles. We are connected to the land. We are connected. Mother's intuition. You know, I read that, this is years ago, and I think this helps explain mother's intuition. I read that living cells from the baby, if a woman has carried a baby, living cells from the baby are alive within the mother through, you know, re-upping themselves for up to 40 years. 40 years after she has a baby. So that helps to understand, like, what mother's intuition is, you know. I really believe that eventually science will just corroborate all the stuff that us spiritual people have been saying for eons, but we're still in the infancy, and it's still, you know.
I think it has even. We're just, are they letting that intel out? You know, it's like,
Absolutely.
So exciting that everything is coming into such alignment, because much like it sounds like you are, I've got the left side and the right side, and they really want to agree. And so I love when one backs up the other.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the powers that be who decide, like, when disclosure happens and stuff like, well, and disclosure has been happening for the past 50 years, you know, War of the Worlds, that radio show was a piece of disclosure. It's going on. It's just that they're afraid people will freak out and then the whole system will fall. So it goes slow. But I think that the intention is for things, because I do think that even those powers that be are realizing that unification does work and humans are becoming lucid and it is time to give power to the individual. And so it's slowly happening in a way that hopefully is seamless. You know, you hear a lot of people say, no, down with the old system. Even people who are into the goddess, the more angry, because, you know, you and I have known each other for a little while now, and you know that I'm not really into the whole bash up the old thing. I like to have more of like a synthesis and symbiotic relationship. So with the way this new golden age paradigm is growing in our world, what I'm going for is to have a paradigm that grows up within the old paradigm, healing it as it goes and then blossoms out of it, rather than needing to crash an old thing and then have a new one come up and take the place, because that's just the same story over and over. But back to the point with magic, you know, you had the burning times, which was several hundred years over in Europe, when magical people were systematically hunted and tortured and killed. And you've also got, like, you know, the Salem witch trials and all this, and even people to this day are terrified of what they deem as witches. And that type of natural feminine magic is a huge part of what goddess is. And I believe that what goddess is wild, untamable, fathomless feminine power. And it's a different type of power than masculine power. It's just as powerful. I don't believe that one is better, the other is better. I mean, I've definitely gone through my sexist periods in my life where I believe that women were better than men, just kind of across the board. But I also know that that is not balanced. You know, there's no such thing. So the men are beautiful, wonderful. They have their skills. They have the things they're great at. And then we are beautiful, wonderful. We have our skills. We have the things we're great at. So to me, what it means to be goddess is to find your own definition of what that is and then to work with it and enfold it into your own personality and daily practices. So for me, part of it is self-care, like body care. I mean, I get so into all types of body care, like home spa all the time, and ancient practices like breath massage and yoni steaming and spa practices. And
yes,
when it comes to the – yeah, go ahead.
Continue. Oh. Never mind. She's on a roll. Never mind.
It's okay. Interrupt me anytime. I can just go sometimes. But when it comes to what you're saying about women being pitted against each other, that's one of the main things. And it is interesting. Some of my favorite energy work, grid work to do sometimes is to go out to, like, you know, the clubs in Los Angeles, which is just full of all that. Because Los Angeles is a machine that runs on partially the energy of rejection and insecurity. Yeah. So you go into a club and you get all dressed up and all, you know, vixen-y and vamp yourself up. And then go into a club and stand in your beauty and power unapologetically and proudly, and then walk around the club dropping compliments on the other women, on the other beautiful women. And then you walk away before they're like, what do you want from me? You know, you just walk away. And what you see is the club blossoming like flowers. It's this amazing thing that happens because we've been taught through media, through archetypal wounding, all this kind of stuff our whole lives often, that in order for you to be strong, the other person has to be weak. In order for you to be beautiful, everyone around you has to be less beautiful.
Right, or
but
as if,
my,
or or that another woman's beauty, inside and out,
diminishes
somehow
yours.
Takes away from yours and disempowers
you. Yes.
When it does, and it's so empowering. Like you, that's just why I get giggly around you. I'm like, oh, look how sparkly and shiny and pretty and everything she is. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a female too. Oh my God, I have the same thing. I'm like, you know, it's,
oh my gosh, I feel the same way.
And like, then we just hold hands
so
and skip into the sunset.
It's so lovely.
And the guys are like, what?
Well,
what happened there?
I don't understand. We don't understand what's happening. Like, you don't need to. Just enjoy it. The first time I got a taste of this was when I was in grad school. So my assistantship was in teaching undergraduate classes. So I was a TA, but, you know, there was not really anyone I was assisting. I was the only professor in the class. So, and I taught athletic classes, so aerobics and conditioning and yoga and Pilates, that kind of thing. So the people who would end up signing up for my classes were, you know, all these sorority girls at the University of Florida. And so we would go on jogs across campus, and I would be jogging in this herd of 30 beautiful, sexy women jogging around campus. And what I would see was, you know, men walking across campus, and they would just, like, stop and stare. And that was so fun and awesome. And it's so much fun to be in this group of gorgeous women. And what I really love is that we are now anchoring in this frequency. It used to be harder, but it gets easier and easier as it goes out more into the collective of, I love being surrounded by beautiful people. I love being surrounded by beautiful men and beautiful women. And just the more we help each other shine, the more we do shine, because it's impossible to be competitive because we are all unique. Because what you're good at, I can't do anyway. And so better to make everyone rise with your encouragement and love and appreciation. And then it comes back around, because in the things that each of us are good at, everyone else will help us to ascend our own skills. And that's what I love, because everyone does have this wisdom and everyone does have their own unique specialization that it's really fun to see blossom and nurturing and valuable, because then the more the people around us blossom, the more they bless us with their gifts and the better we get as a result.
It is so much, I think it's so much the self-love and the, which is why I think your self-care practice is so important to you, is because that really is a self-love technique. It's pampering the body, the mind, the spirit, and then you are just, your frequency is so high that you can't help but attract more beauty and grace and deliciousness and more people who are on that same wavelength. And that's why you start to experience we're all just experiencing a mirror of what, you know, what frequency we are emitting. So I'm curious though, what your, you know, as we shift into more of the fifth dimensional awareness or paradigm, whatever name you want to give it, I'm so curious where you think that this goddess energy is going to go, because I almost feel the more you integrate the masculine and the feminine and they come together, then it's almost like this blurry androgynous thing. And I know that there are definitely beings, there are definitely beings at that level, much higher up in the dimensions. But where do you see the goddess evolving into?
Well, right now I feel like she's getting her power back. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about how our power was taken, but I know that cycles are longer than we think. And so think about a man you meet who had a really overbearing mother, an overbearing, abusive mother, and think about what happens to him. And if you were to look at the psychology of what's been done by the men to the women for the past several thousand years, doesn't it seem like that? So you got to take the responsibility back and be like, okay, well, we probably did something at some point to offset this, you know, and okay. So I love being a woman. I love being a woman so much. I love being a woman in a way that lets me know that I'm not always a woman. You know, it's like putting on a ball gown. You know, you don't wear it every day, but when you do and you get all soft with your exfoliation and lotions and perfumes and oils, and you get all scented and all manicured and pedicured and all makeup, and I know. And so that is super delicious. That's what I feel like it is to be a woman, and for my soul. I feel like my soul is like, yes, I get to be a woman. And so I think that, you know, there are the beings that are androgynous, like a lot of the angelics feel androgynous to me in various dimensions, beings feel androgynous, but it's a skill like any, and you can dive in and say, I feel like activating the divine feminine in the universe for this mission this time. Or I feel like activating the divine masculine. Or this time I kind of want to be both. And you've got people alive on this planet right now who are both, you know, absolutely, who some days they're men and some days they're women. And a lot of times they're in between. Some of my favorite people in this world are super androgynous people, you know, who have both of the energies. Yeah, so I think that what's happening right now on our planet is that the feminine is coming back into her power, and now she is calling the masculine to step up his power to be able to meet her in a way that empowers both of them, so that he does give her the power to bring him into his greatness by letting her come into her greatness, by honoring her and supporting her, and then letting her do the same to him and actually receiving that. And I think personally, it's my opinion that we're going to stay boys and girls on Earth for a very long time. And that we're going to be exploring that now that we're healing it, that we're starting to heal it. Like, we're barely even opening the gates for the golden age. We're in the beginning of a renaissance. People are going to look back at what we're doing right now and be like, you guys, what was it like? Like how we talk about, you know, soccer or stuff like that. Like, oh my gosh, you know, what was it like back when you guys, you know, still like had plastic in your food and you know, still ran on machines that were basically explosions in a box, like made it go. How does that work? You know, like our cars and planes and stuff. But so I think that the rule of the day right now is to find what resonates most with each of us, and then to kind of froth it up and integrate it, and then learn how to interact in a loving way, but fully empowered by not, because I think that our race right now as humans is still really trying to learn how to be empowered and not freak ourselves out and not manifest a reality where us being empowered means that somebody gets triggered and attacks us. But we learn how to have our own empowerment be gentle and encouraging, and also to react to other people's empowerment in that same way, like you were saying before, not say, oh, she's super beautiful, so I have to be less beautiful on the ends. I have to feel like I'm less beautiful now if I'm appreciating her beauty. And instead go, whoa, you do that thing that's your thing. Hey, I have a thing that's my thing. You want to see? And, you know, that kind of almost like a childlike exuberance for understanding greater depths of who we are, because we're only initially starting to even remember what we're capable of, much less integrate all the things that we have done, and then be able to take the quantum leaps forward into what evolution is coming. We're still like regaining stuff we lost, much less growing forward. So I think that's what's trying to happen. And I think that they're going to, I see it as a rainbow. You know, when you start popping into 5D and seeing the different types of energies running, you start to see new colors. And watching a sunset is a great exercise in this, because you got stuff going on in sunsets that you don't really see on Earth. It's all the, you know, super bright fluorescence, like the crazy turquoises and hot pinks and bright oranges and those crazy glowing reds and stuff like this, that I feel like what we're going to do is get more flavors. So it's not going to meld together into a muddy gray. I think it's going to become a wider rainbow of what we have available to us to pick and choose from as we incarnate, and decide what frequencies we feel like resonating in our bodies and then creating in our world, as we also get comfortable with not having to have poverty, not having to have disease in ourselves first, and then generating out into our world and allowing our world to heal. Because right now, that's still a lot of what's going on. We're like, okay, let me make my life as beautiful as I can. Let me make myself as healthy as I can. Let me generate that frequency and then start to see it back. You know, I will love it that I have this dream of World Water Day, when the very last freshwater source is cleaned. The very last one, so you can now drink out of any freshwater source anywhere on the globe, and the whole world is united, and everyone's excited, and from then on, we're good, you know, and that's absolutely something that can happen. With how, you know, Emoto's research with water, and how many people you have coming up now, all the little Facebook blurbs you see about a 16-year-old who created a way to heal the ocean, you know, it can happen much, much, much faster than certain documentaries will tell you it can happen. And I really think that's where we're going. And so then once that happens, then it's this beautiful new gateway of like, ooh, now we can just play. And it's the same question as, what does the warrior do when there's no more war? Well, you get onto the dance floor, because dancing and fighting are very similar, kind of the same way as, you know, making love and battling, very, very similar energies. It's just a different side of the same coin. So basically it's each of us to be like, okay, how do we do it? Yeah, good.
Yeah, no, I love your World Water Day, because that just brings me to so much how I feel getting just all up in Mother Nature is such a good way to goddess out, you know, to jump in the waters. And I know that you are like an expert flower crown maker. And to really immerse yourself in the elements and all of the beauty that Mother Earth has is such a great way to experience and really feel into the feminine goddess aspect. So I'm sure that's something that a lot of men can go out and do right now if you wanted to integrate that divine feminine. But oh my gosh, I feel like we've hit a vortex there. We have about 3 minutes left.
Wow, how fun.
Oh my gosh, like where did the time go? So I just want to, I got to give a shout out to this card because it is last week. I pulled out the Harvest Moon, which was a turning point, a preparation, and a gathering. Okay, so this week, completely new deck, the Isis Oracle, and I'm here to tell you again that abundance is here. I have the abundance of Sothis, this stellar blessings of the celestial goddess of abundance. So I'm just going to read a quick little blurb. Abundance in many forms is flowing to you now, beloved. Intend right now to receive it. Just decide to do so in your heart in this very moment. The Oracle of the Abundance of Sothis comes as guidance to expect increased flow and to continue your good works of building channels through which abundance can be delivered to you. I love that too, because you need to build the channel for it to be delivered to you. Again, meeting the universe halfway. And freely share your talents, love, wisdom, and self, and enjoy the abundance responsively flowing to you in many forms over and over again. So holy smokes, again, Spirit is communicating with the cards, telling us that abundance is here. It's all around. And our job now is to gather and receive. So it's such an exciting time. We have just about a minute and a half left. So Karis, my love, we're going to have you back because we do. There's so much more to talk about. But I want to make sure before we hang up here, what is the next goddess gathering? People, you have to go online. You have to check out karismalina.com and find out where you can join one of these goddess gatherings, rather. Because they're so unbelievable. They're just, look at the pictures. You're just going to be like, oh my God, I want to go, sisterhood. But Karis, what's the next thing we can expect from you?
Okay, well, there is going to be an Oracle Goddess workshop in Los Angeles on October 14th. And I'm contemplating having one in Sedona the week before, like the second weekend in October. We'll see what else is coming up. There are always various like classes and stuff that I'm doing. Right now I'm really focusing because I'm going to be out of commission in about 2 weeks from now for a month going out to the desert for Burning Man. And so after I get back, I'll be opening up a lot more stuff. But I run a mentorship program called the Goddess Glow Mentorship Program, which is all about that mutual empowerment and divination and working with the moon cycles and learning your own unique brand of magic and using it and encouraging each other. And yeah, just definitely get out in nature because nature has so much wisdom that she wants to give you. And she can't unless you immerse yourself in her. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Karis. I love you guys all for listening. Thank you for listening to Heart on Radio. Get your goddess on. And we have Lionsgate next week. Love and blessings. Thank you again, Karis.
Thank you so much. Love to everybody and love to you, Shauna. Thank you.